This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics. Nobody spoke to the culture and the soul the way Dr. Kennedy did, and available now as we continue his legacy is the new improved Impact Magazine and Devotional from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This glossy full-color magazine features thought-provoking articles, great biblical resources, and daily devotional truth from Dr. D. James Kennedy, delivered right to your mailbox each month. Feed your soul and impact the culture with the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and a biblically informed view of the world. For your free trial subscription to the new Impact Magazine and Devotional, simply call, write, or visit us online.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. Late last year, the atheist comedian Bill Maher spoke up on his program about radical Islam. He noted that Islam has not protected many of the values liberals and all Americans hold dear, like freedom of speech and freedom of religion. In response, a student group at the University of California at Berkeley organized a petition to disinvite him from speaking at winter graduation because of hate speech.
This phenomenon is becoming increasingly common in America and on college campuses. If your speech does not fall within certain approved boundaries, you'll be accused of hate speech, and some will attempt to silence you. On today's program, we'll look at this problem, and you'll meet a couple who were put out of business by the government for obeying their Christian conscience.
We'll also share an important resource that will help you navigate this issue. But as we begin, my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, who saw all of this coming, helps us uncover what drives this anti-freedom agenda in part two of his message, The New Tolerance.
Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When you have an immoral society who has blatantly, proudly violated all of the commandments of God, there's one last virtue they insist upon: tolerance for their immorality. And they will not have you condemning what they have done as being wrong. And they've created a whole world construct in which it's not, and in which they are no longer the criminal or the villain or the evil person, but you are. And so they call evil good and good evil. And believe me, that's just the beginning. You see, if it's true what they say, that there are no judgments by which we can condemn any standard of right and wrong or good or evil as better or worse, and if it's true that the only thing that matters is our feelings, and if it is also true, as they say, that you cannot separate what a person does from what the person is, and since Christians for 2,000 years have believed that we are to love the sinner but hate the sin, they say, oh, no, you don't. And since polls have repeatedly shown that high school students in this country believe that you cannot criticize anything that anyone believes without criticizing and finding fault with that person. Therefore, if you have a discussion of atheism with an atheist, you're finding fault with that man and criticizing his views. You can't separate the two. If you find fault with a thief, and you would criticize his stealing, though as a Christian we would want to love him, then you are finding fault with him, not merely what he does. The same thing is true of a homosexual. You cannot have a rational discussion of the rightness or wrongness of homosexuality, because if you find any fault with it, you're finding fault with that person who will tell you that what I do is what I am, and you cannot divide between the two. And the overwhelming majority of high school students in America believe that. They believe it passionately. They have been thoroughly indoctrinated with that idea. Does it matter? We're going down the hill. Yes, it matters. Because you see, in criticizing that person, when you're criticizing what he believes or what he does, you are hurting his feelings. You are demonstrating hatefulness to him, and that is a hate crime. And that can end you up in court or jail. And there is legislation coming before the Federal Congress of this nation this term to have federal hate crime. The first time in history you can be judged for what's inside your head or inside your heart. And if you are guilty of hatred, then you can go to jail. And who knows what lies beyond that step. But you know, my friends, when I talk to somebody who survived the Holocaust, who was here at the first service, and he said, "You're exactly right. That's what happened with the Jews. They first ridiculed them. They laughed at them. And then they began to condemn them. And then they began to silence them and censure them. And censorship came into place. And then they began to persecute them. And then they began to imprison them. And then they began to kill them, all in the name of tolerance." You see, the one thing, said one writer on our schools, Dr. Frederick W. Hill, a school administrator, said, "It is the mission of the public schools not to tolerate intolerance." Now, my friends, Christianity is the most loving religion in the world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, gave His life. God gives to us eternal life. God forgives us, and He urges us to love others, to love our friends, to love our enemies, to love even those that kill us. But Christianity is an absolute religion. And by the way, all of these strictures do not apply to other religions, only to Christianity, because that is the only absolute religion. You can belong to three or four of other of the world religions at the same time. But God is a jealous God, and He will not have any other gods before Him. And all of the gods of the heathen, He says, are but idols. Idols! But God says, "I am Jehovah. There's none like Me." Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." That statement alone could one day in America could have landed him in jail, because it is absolutist. How many people today you see who want to say that, well, all religions are basically the same? There's a theological term for that. It's called hogwash. That's a direct translation from the Greek. And it only reveals the ignorance of the person that makes that statement. Gautama Buddha died for no one. Lao Tse died for no one. Confucius died for no one. Muhammad died for no one. Only Christ died for the sins of the world. Only Christ rose again from the dead. Only Christ offers eternal life freely to those that will trust in Him. Christianity is diametrically opposite from all of the other world religions in those things that really matter. But because it is absolute and not relative, it is Christianity against which all of this that I have mentioned is aimed. And it's like being corralled like sheep to the slaughter. Most of the sheep, they don't even know what's happening. Wake up! You did, didn't you? Good. Dear friends, for 40 years, I have urged this congregation to be faithful to the Great Commission of sharing the gospel with a needy world, a needy nation. Many of you have been indescribably faithful in doing that year after year, decade after decade. But even more of you, no way. You haven't led anybody to Christ last year. You didn't lead anybody to Christ the year before that. You didn't lead anybody to Christ last decade. You didn't lead anybody to Christ in the last 40 years. Some of you haven't led anybody to Christ in the last 70 years. You're going to find out what's at the end of the road of disobedience to the Great Commission. It's time that we stood up for Jesus Christ and showed some backbone while we still have a place to stand. Oh God, the need is so great. Help us, we pray, to have the courage that Christ alone can give us, and that the truth of Christ may inundate this nation as never before. I pray this in His most holy name. Amen.
As my father shared with us in his message today, all religions are not the same. Those who call for a secular nation claim that Christianity is intolerant of others. But they have it exactly backwards. It's the Christian faith that is offered freedom of conscience. The more secular a nation is, the more it will compel people through speech codes and restrictions on freedom. Just look at the atheistic communist nations of the 20th century, for example. And here in America, freedom is on the decline as well. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb and John Rabe have more.
A Christian baker in Oregon is being forced out of business by the government because of their stand on so-called homosexual marriage.
Two Christian brothers lost their jobs as TV hosts for taking a Christian stand on marriage and abortion.
An outspoken minister is sued in federal court by a left-wing group for quote-unquote crimes against humanity for speaking out on homosexuality. And the list of such cases is growing. John Rabe joins me to talk about them. John, what is happening here in a nation founded for religious freedom? We're losing ours.
And it's not only the freedom of religion, though it certainly is that. It's also just the basic freedom of speech, basic freedom of association. The fact is that We have a First Amendment that's designed to protect us from government interference. We're used to seeing in foreign countries, especially where Islam has grown in recent years, we're used to seeing speech that is not approved being clamped down on, sometimes even violently so. Well, thankfully in America, it hasn't gotten violent, but what we do see is that if you hold a non-approved viewpoint, which is now a very liberal, very particular viewpoint, if you hold a non-approved viewpoint, the government may come in and put the clamps down on you. That should be terrifying in a nation that has a First Amendment.
And in most of these cases, the Christian victim was just minding their own business, but when asked to celebrate something that they thought was wrong, they said, my conscience won't allow me to do that.
Ground zero for this sort of thing has really been in the wedding industry. Mm-hmm. And there have been a number of businesses, as you're talking about, who are just doing their work and decide we don't want to participate in a homosexual so-called marriage. And several of them are finding themselves on the firing line as a result.
Well, one Christian couple discovered the hard way that having biblical convictions can cost you dearly right here in America, where we supposedly have constitutional rights to freedom of expression, freedom of religion, and freedom of association. Meet Melissa and Aaron Klein of Oregon.
I actually got started in this business. My son was turning one, and I wanted to make his first birthday cake. That was my first time ever making a cake, and after I made it, I just fell in love, like with being able to use the artistic ability that I feel that God gave me to like put into cake.
Melissa Klein of Gresham, Oregon, along with her husband Aaron, created a thriving business called Sweet Cakes by Melissa. She poured a great deal of energy into her special cakes for that special day.
I specialize in wedding cakes and custom designed cakes.
We owned a bakery. Actually, it was more of a custom designed cake shop. Everything was a made to order, specifically designed as the customer wanted.
We really like to make it very specific to each individual couple.
We did quite a few weddings. I'd probably say about 150, 160 weddings a year. It was Gresham, Oregon based. We delivered everywhere from Ashland all the way up past Seattle.
We wanted in everything that we did in our business, I wanted to use my, artistic ability to glorify the Lord.
But in early 2013, their sweet success turned sour when their conscience did not allow them to create a wedding cake to celebrate the union of two lesbians.
January 2013, we had a girl and her mom come in requesting us to do her wedding cake. Return customer. When I learned what the cake was for, I couldn't in good conscience take part in it. It was something that flew right in the face of what the Bible defined as marriage.
The state of Oregon has brought claims for damages on behalf of the two girls who came into Aaron and Melissa's shops. They've brought claims for damages in excess of $150,000 simply because Aaron and Melissa would not violate their religious beliefs and celebrate something that they believed was wrong.
Because of the boycotting, the demonstrations that happened, everything that's gone on, we've lost our storefront. We've lost what was our main source of income for our family.
We've been accused of, or called a hater, a bigot, every name that you can possibly think of in the book. I won't lie, it really hurt and it really hit me hard because it was like, how am I a hater? Just because I don't want to do something, do I not have rights to say what I want to do and what I don't want to do? I shouldn't have to be forced to do something that violates my religious beliefs.
I mean, this is a case about whether the state can force you to communicate a message, participate in an event which violates your religious beliefs. The state of Oregon has brought the full force of the law down on these people for simply deciding to stand by their religious beliefs.
You add the damages on top of that the state could impose, and I could lose my house, I could file bankruptcy, it could, and we're not talking about two people that owned a multi-million dollar business. We're talking about a husband and wife that owned a small shop that supported their five kids.
A person should be allowed under the Constitution to work in the marketplace and make a living without fear of having to go against what they believe in their heart of hearts to be true.
You know, the hardest thing has been watching my wife go through this.
I had so many regular customers that came in that that I built like relationships with, and I missed that interaction with them.
She loved doing cakes. She loved being a part of people's day. And to have that stripped away to the level it has been has just, I mean, it has been devastating.
John, that is so tragic. Here, this family is going to lose everything that they've worked so hard for and done so well at because they won't violate their conscience in America.
Doesn't it seem impossible, Jerry, that this would be happening in the United States, in a nation with our Constitution and a nation with our Bill of Rights? This isn't Europe. This isn't even Canada, where these things are happening with more and more frequency. This is happening right here in the United States, and they're not the only ones. It's happened to some Christian photographers in New Mexico. It's happened to others as well. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just sort of the front edge of this. The reality is, it's not enough anymore to just say, hey, you live your life, I'll live mine. Even then, you will be forced to comply. You will be forced to give your approval. You don't have the right to say, I don't want to participate in that. The government will force you to participate in it, and they are on the verge of bankrupting this Christian business.
Now, some Christians have even criticized them and said, oh, Jesus would want them to make the cake. And they've responded, you know, look at the woman caught in adultery. On the one hand, Jesus forgave her, but on the other hand, he said, go and sin no more.
Sure. Well-meaning Christians have said that, and there's muddled thinking that's happening with those Christians. First of all, we have no biblical evidence that Jesus would have provided a cake for a wedding that he considered to be a mockery of his father's institution of marriage. He never endorsed sin. He loved sinners, but he never gave his stamp of approval to sin. That's what they were asking the Kleins to do. Second of all, we also have to keep in mind that this is not about a class of people that the Kleins are not willing to serve. The Kleins and many like them who have been in these similar cases are willing to say to homosexuals, we will serve you. You're welcome. Come to our store. Buy our cakes. Buy our cupcakes. Buy our products. We will be happy to serve you. What we're not willing to do is give our stamp of approval to this particular ceremony, to this particular institution. That's much different than saying, I won't serve a person. And we know this, Jerry. This is common sense if we just take it out of that realm and put it in other terms. Let's say there's an African-American printer and the KKK comes to town and says, we're having a rally. We want the African-American printer to print the advertisements for our KKK rally. Would we have a problem if the African-American said, I don't care to do that? In the America that I know, we should absolutely have the right to say, I don't agree with that. I'm not participating in that. That's been completely turned upside down. You will comply. You will give your approval to homosexual marriage, or you will pay the price. Mm.
Well, the settlers and founders of America were very big on the rights of conscience. For example, William Penn, founder of Pennsylvania, said, Almighty God being the only Lord of conscience. But today, liberals don't seem to care about the rights of conscience unless they conform with their unbiblical views. So in a nation founded on and for religious freedom, Christians are too often getting in trouble for having politically incorrect positions. But as Paul says in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
The so-called new tolerance requires that you not only allow someone else their point of view, but that you agree with it and even celebrate it. The columnist Charles Krauthammer once said, liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. And we see that playing out in America once again, as more Christian businesses are attacked by the government because they refuse to participate in the celebration of homosexual so-called marriage. There are many who are making these laws who want to take away your freedom of religion, your freedom of conscience, even your freedom of thought. Hate crime laws is one of the avenues they've used in order to accomplish this agenda. These laws are not designed to punish behaviors, but rather viewpoints. And they're being used against Christians even as we speak. It's essential that you understand the threat and are ready for it. It's going to require Christians standing together to defeat such laws and protect our constitutional freedoms. That's why we want to send you the book, 10 Truths About Hate Crime Laws by John Amen, as a way of thanking you for your generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry for a limited time only. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. It's one of the great ironies of our day that those who claim to care the most about tolerance will not tolerate the Christian views that help make this the freest, most prosperous nation on earth. They work at every turn to silence us in order to justify their own agenda. But we can't let them do that. For the sake of our God-given freedom, as well as for the sake of those who will follow behind us, we must stand against so-called hate crime laws and against anyone who would try to silence Christian viewpoints on biblical issues. This important book, 10 Truths About Hate Crime Laws, will help you understand the threat. Again, we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation of any amount. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org.
This is an issue that will affect all Christians, so you'll want to make sure to share this book with your pastor and other concerned Christians. Contact us today and request your copy of 10 Truths About Hate Crime Laws. Also, make sure you visit our website and sign up for Daily Truth from D. James Kennedy, delivered free to your email inbox every day. May God bless you as you do.
And may God bless America.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics. Can the Bible be trusted?
None of the four Gospels are reliable.
They are enormously reliable.
What happened to Jesus' body?
We really don't know what happened to Jesus' body.
The same Jesus who was buried is the Jesus who was raised.
What difference does it make? This Easter, find the truth about the most controversial man in history.
Who is this Jesus? Is he risen?
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.